Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video continuing on our series, Sermon on the Mount. Thank you so much for joining with me. And today we're actually going to wrap up on Matthew chapter 5. So I think I'll do, as always, read the section of scripture that we're looking at first, verses 43 through to 48. Then we'll come back and just go through them step by step with some commentary, with a few thoughts, contextual scriptures, and then ask the question, how is this even relevant to us today in our modern age, 2,000 or so years since these words were spoken? Let's have a quick look. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, verse 44, here's this common pattern. But I say to you, says Jesus, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the evil and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, well, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard various sermons on these, but for me, as I've been studying it, seeing it in context over the whole chapter, week by week, there has been a lot more to it than I'd ever previously realize. So let's jump in. Verse 43, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now in this section, in chapter 5, which I'm going to take liberty and say this is why, because obviously these weren't written with chapters and verse, but this is why in our modern Bibles this chapter finishes here at the end of 48. We have this entire section, you have heard it said. And here we can see, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, loving your neighbor, this is specifically referring back to what was written in the Levitical laws. We look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Just here, we can see, you shall not take vengeance, says the Lord, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, before we even get on to a quick commentary, I love the way that that finishes. I am the Lord. This is his stamp of approval. This is very important. This is not just man giving advice. This is God showing you, telling you how it should be. And how should it be? Well, he's talking about here to the children of Israel, the children of their people. So for us in the modern context, we are talking about, if this was given to us, it would be for those who are also in Christ, other brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians. He says, do not bear a grudge against them, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is referring to his people. And then we come back into Matthew 5, we see love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, this is interesting. If you do an entire scan of Scripture, you will not find a commandment to hate your enemy. This is, as Jesus said, you have heard it said, this has become part of the spoken law, or those things that have been added on over time. It likely comes from sections of Scripture. I've got a note here, Deuteronomy 23, I had a read of it, and it's one of many different places where the Lord gives commandment to his children, in this example, as they go into that promised land to completely remove those who were there from that land, to remove it, to clear it, to deal with them fully. It doesn't say hate. It's just a matter of moving them on so that the Israelites can live in that promised land separate from there, not to intermingle in that regard. And there are many different occasions where this is told, sometimes through war, sometimes through literally moving them on, other times through complete destruction. It's a common commandment, and we take that now. We should look at that if we were given such commandment, not to go and kill or shoot that person over there, no, but to look at those things in our life that are not of God, not of our Christian heritage and values, and move them on, and to kill them, and to destroy them, and to put them out of our lives. So if we continue on here, he says, I say to you, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh my. This comes back to being a matter of our heart attitude, doesn't it? For us even to pray for someone. I mean, they're not even necessarily there, but maybe someone at work and they're continually on your case and they're getting on you. And I mean, you want vengeance. You do. But Jesus is saying, no, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray blessing upon them. Far better that he be the one who avenges, which of course Scripture says, than us. There are consequences for us in this world if we do that. Let's let God take care of such things and pray for ourselves to have that heart attitude which allows us to pray for those who do persecute us and so on. But then this is interesting. He says, then that, so do these things so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on the good, the evil. He makes the rain come down on the good, the evil. But you are to be sons of your Father in heaven through doing this. So what exactly does that mean? Well, if we have a look over in Matthew chapter 12, verses, 47 through 50, we can see here where Jesus is asked the question, verse 47, someone says, look, your mother, your brothers, they're standing outside waiting to speak with you. And he says, answering, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he stretched out his hand, looking towards his disciples. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. This is the will of the Father in heaven, that we should have a heart attitude. It is, again, as I've said before, this is the opportunity for us to show Christ to others. And it is in our flesh, indeed, the most difficult thing. And I guess as a side note, this is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that I know that these words in here, in this thing that we call the Bible, I know that these were not just written down and penned by men to create some kind of religion. What fool would write down such things that our flesh doesn't want to do? No, this is more. This is God's instruction to us to help us become more like Him. And He gives this illustration in verse 46 and 47. He said, you know, what reward have you got? If you love those who just love you, come on, where's the profit in that? Even the tax collectors do the same. Verse 47, if you greet your brethren, your brothers only, those whom you like. Well, don't even the tax collectors do the same? And in here, in the context of the scripture, the tax collectors in this place, in this time, they were Jews. They were their brothers. They were their neighbors, tax collectors. They were, as you would a comparison to Second World War, the Kapos, I think is how you correctly pronounce that, in the concentration camps where the Jews were herded in by the German Nazi forces and they were sent in there. And the Kapos were Jews who were, in a sense, working for the Nazis that they might somehow gain privilege, even life. But they were leading their brothers and their sisters into the gas chambers and saying, look, it'll be okay. We just need to do this. It's going to help. Just give you a shower. That's just the showers. It's okay. And they closed the door and everyone in there would die. Millions upon millions of them. And so the Kapos were the modern equivalent of the tax collectors at that time. They were hated with a vengeance. And we know from Scripture that God indeed will have His vengeance. But He's saying here to His followers, you and me also, He is saying to them that we are to be different from these people. Because if we indeed can pray for and to show a form of love, Christ's love towards our enemies, oh boy, that takes a strong heart attitude that can only come from the Holy Spirit, I would think. But he says these things. And then he wraps up in verse 48. This is interesting. Therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Really? Let's just take a closer look at that. Therefore, this summary, therefore, isn't just for loving your enemies, this section. This summary is for the whole lot, going all the way back to Verse 21, you have heard it said that, but I say. And in verse 27, you've heard it said that, but I say. Verse 31, furthermore, it's been said that, but I say. Verse 33, you've heard it said, but I say. These are the things, therefore, all of these heart attitudes that we are to show to be like Christ. Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a summary of verses 21 through to 47. And of course, it made me think of one of those scriptures, which I've mentioned, I think, in one of the earlier ones, where 1 Corinthians 11, the very beginning of verse 1, Paul writes, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And this theme that we are to become more Christ-like, this is our goal now. Not that the works of becoming more Christ-like see us into any greater level of salvation. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. That is it. But as he says here also in chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. We are to be that. For other people, you, my friend, me, we are to be that, that others might see Christ in us. And as Paul said, imitate him as he would seek to imitate Christ. Now, when I read that while I was studying it, it also just, it made me think, and there was a note which I then looked up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And I have some interesting scriptures here I want just to leave with you to give thought to. How does it apply to us now? Now, first of all, 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore is written here, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. This is from Numbers. This is the whole point of clearing the land ahead of them. This is the whole point of destroying the other, the pagan idols, and destroying those who would bring and try and bring pagan worship in to the children of Israel. Do you ever get that question? Oh, why was it okay for them to go and, you know, fight and war and destroy and kill all of those tribes? Simply because of the pagan worship that was to come in and destroy them from within. It had to be done. Folks, it has to be done for you too. Now, what things do you have in your life that you just know should not be there? They have to be destroyed. It is the only way. If you are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, if people are to see Christ in you and you are to have these heart attitudes that Jesus has just spent this whole section of Scripture explaining so that people would understand, as I've now led to you, you have to clear these things out of your life that you know should not be there. Now, can you do it on your own? No, of course not. That's why we now have the Holy Spirit to help us, God to help us. Just as the Israelites had God to help them, so we have now God to help us through the Holy Spirit, that we might enter into that rest, that place of rest in living in Christ that Paul spoke of, sorry, that whomever wrote the book of Hebrews spoke about in chapters 3 and 4. But here we have, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from among the people of the world and be separate. That's what the commandment was to them. To you it is now, come out and be separate in your mannerisms, in your thinking, in your walking, in your waking, in your sleeping. Come out and be separate. And in my Bible, I have a couple of references to other scriptures. And I went, wow. As I look through these are the ones I'm going to leave with you now to think about. In Numbers, we have, speak to the children of Israel and say, when you have crossed into the Jordan, into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. This is what I've been talking about. And destroy all their engraved stones. This is the idolatry. Destroy all their molded images and demolish their high places, those places of worship. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you this land to possess. And then you shall divide it amongst yourselves by lot, by tribes, and so on and so on. That's the scripture that gives us the instruction of how we should apply things in our lives. But then there was another one as well, Isaiah 52:11. Depart, depart, go out from there, touching no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, this is in regarding to those as they're coming from Babylon, a prophecy as it was at the time, from Babylon back to Jerusalem, bringing the instruments of the Holy Temple to put them in there. They were to be separate. They were to touch nothing unclean. They were to bear the vessels of the Lord. And I'll just take a little bit of creative license now and say, and such are you, temple of the living God. Last one. Revelations 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in your sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Folks, we need to be separate in our manners, in our ways, and in our deeds, in our doings, in and from the world. We just do. This whole section of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it said this. This is the law, but I say this. And they're all heart attitudes. All of them. So if you haven't yet listened to the previous videos, I encourage you, please take a moment to go back. This is the type of living that we are called to as Christ's. An understanding, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, understanding that the work that we do to lead and live this holy life, that work does not bring salvation. It does not. But it does allow people to see Christ in others that, Christ in us, so that others might be saved. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I'm just going to finish off with a quick quote that came to mind from Charles Spurgeon. Something along the lines, this is not word for word. He said, I thank God that he chose me from the time before I was born. Because if he had seen me after I was born, he'd have never chose me ever. Isn't that the truth for so many of us? Oh, God's grace, it is a mystery. It truly is. But what an incredible blessing. What a beautiful thing that we should have in Christ Jesus, that where sacrifice was needed for the remission of sins and our sacrifices, Old Testament, Old Covenant, never good enough. So God sent his only Son and made him that sacrifice, that whoever should believe on him should not die but have eternal life. Praise God that we can become children of God and that Holy Spirit dwell within us. Live accordingly. That's my call to you today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.